Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, a weekly program exploring Hawaii Island issues, problems, and solutions. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Today, my guest is Gino Ortiz. Gino is a licensed massage therapist, and he was on the Lava 105.3 FM morning show not too long ago with Danny Jesser and Israel Gonzalez. I thought what he had to say about massage was really interesting. Gino has quite the background with more than 30 years' experience in massage. He was a member of the Olympic massage team for the 1984 Summer and 2002 Winter Games. He's worked at hotels, on cruise ships, been on the Ironman Championship massage team, and he has great training, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. The other reason I'm interested in discussing massage is that there now have been articles in scholarly publications, specifically Science and Science News, that after testing, massage has been shown to be not just something that can make one feel good, but has actual therapeutic benefit to the muscles and muscle recovery. Even the Mayo Clinic website, which is an excellent source of health information, touts massage as being beneficial in certain cases for anxiety, digestive disorders, fibromyalgia, headaches, insomnia related to stress, facial pain, nerve pain, injuries, including sports injuries, and more. Good morning. Aloha, Gino.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for having me on your wonderful show.
Well, thank you for being here. And I'd like to start with what I think is something simple. What exactly is massage therapy as you define it?
As I define it. Over the years, there's been a lot of definitions. And it, truly speaking, I feel the definition of massage needs to evolve with the education of tissues, specifically muscle tissues. One of the original documented massages that is publicized often is Swedish massage. While realistically speaking, and not my quote, Swedish massage is very outdated. The anatomical knowledge at the time it was developed really wasn't to the forefront to those that were doing massage. Wiping the skin is great. It always feels good. But if we want to get into specific problems, well, certainly there's relaxation massage, and specific problems, movement-related aches and pains, or athletic recovery, we really need to know something about the muscle's physiology. What muscles like, what they don't like. And there we can work. It's like a car mechanic who, you take your car to the car mechanic and you have a bad fuel pump, okay? He could pull out the fuel pump and replace it, or he could tell you, you know, we could take this apart and there's a couple of little springs in there that I could replace. It'll cost you $3 or $4 as opposed to $250. So that's the kind of mechanic you want to go to. He knows the specifics, the ins and outs of that particular part of your engine. So in doing massage, fortunately with the education I've had, I've created a technique that really relates to muscles. So I like to refer to the techniques I teach as muscular massage therapy.
Okay, let's get into what is your background, your training, your education in massage? Because pretty clearly you do know about muscles, so I'd like to know how you know all this.
Well, I was very fortunate in my life. My father was very athletic, and I inherited some of those genes. And I was offered a college scholarship playing football. And I had a few options at a few different universities, but I chose to stay close to my parents so they could see me play. I stayed close in Whittier, California. I went to Whittier College to start my college career. I played football there, and by great fortune, I had some anatomy classes. I had the honor of studying with Dr. Arcati, who was a surgeon. Dr. Ibrahim, at that time, he was one of the world's foremost authorities on kinesiology, Dr. Nettie Morrison, and a few other gifted people in the anatomy field. I also got extra permission to stay in the cadaver lab at night. I had a study partner, and for those that aren't quite sure what a cadaver is, it's an actual deceased human being. We were very fortunate. Whittier College being a very prestigious small college, we had 14 students and 7 cadavers. So the ratio was pretty much 2 students to 1 cadaver.
Were you in college actually studying to be a massage therapist? Because taking anatomy classes makes me think you were studying for something else.
Well, good point. I started a path, okay? And what happened was when I started studying the physiology of muscular activity and kinesiology. Kinesiology is the study of human movement. What muscles are involved for a specific movement? What nerves feed that muscle? The blood flow, etc. So in the library, I was visualizing certain muscles contracting and applying it to my athletic skills on the football field. And lo and behold, I realized my physical abilities were elevated tremendously by my knowledge of the muscles. So from that point forward, waking up, eating, everything, I was focusing on my movement. I developed a better posture driving my car. With everything that I did, sitting in a seat in the library, I'm a little bit larger than the average person, and all chairs and desks are pretty much standard heights, so they're not designed for every person's body height. So I figured ways to set up my books, so instead of me bending or torquing my body out to look at my books, I positioned them to look at me, where I had a better structural posture. And it minimized simple aches and pains, even headaches. 80% of headaches are muscular in nature. So it ended up more classes and more classes. I was on the pathway of actual sports medicine or athletic training. And I was thankful I transferred from Whittier College to Long Beach State University. And there again, I had some gifted professors. And I took about a year and a half off and transferred up to the University of Oregon. And I had the great honor of studying with Larry Standifer, who was the athletic trainer of the year nationwide.
Wow. Okay, I'm curious about this cadaver lab. So you spent the night with a lot of dead bodies in the cadaver lab. What did you learn from working with dead bodies? And actually, what did you do with the dead bodies to learn what you needed to know?
Okay, well, let's clarify that. You said I spent the night. It was not a sleepover.
Oh.
Okay. It was evening studies. I had a wonderful study partner, Sandy Wise. And wherever you are, Sandy, I bid you a wonderful aloha. I miss you dearly. Her and I would get written permission from the department head to actually go into the cadaver lab after hours and do whatever we wanted to do. And we had put in some serious study time. So we were fascinated by the muscles, and we would pick out like a muscle of the night. And we would open up the cadavers and find this muscle and look at the shape of it and literally put our hands in the body and feel the muscles, follow it to its origins and insertions, which means the points of attachment to the skeletal structure, okay? And learning the human body from the inside out, it's a world of difference, and it's like trying to learn to be a mechanic with never lifting up the hood of the car if you've never been in a cadaver lab. But being in a cadaver lab just blows it off the charts on your amount of realistic anatomy, function, and anatomical fact.
I've seen a couple of videos that you did where you actually hold up, I don't think an actual dead body, but it's a model of a body of body parts, and you talk about the muscles and the bones and how things are connected. Now, obviously you had a lot of training in that area, and then your work with cadavers informed you, but I also know that here on Hawaii Island, here on Kona, you actually train massage therapists, and my guess is to have a license in the state of Hawaii or maybe in any state to do massage, people don't typically have the kind of training that you have. So to be a massage therapist in this state, what kind of training do people need to have?
That's a very good point. I am proud of what I teach. What I teach is virtually what I created. I did go to a massage school for state rules and regulations. I needed a specific amount of hours of hands-on instruction.
And so when you say you did, everybody does.
Yes, everybody.
Okay.
So I enrolled in this school that had a very fine reputation, and I was excited. But mind you, I had studied with professors and surgeons in the past. I was excited to get back into a school setting, and my first day of class, I had a great emotional downfall because I realized within 20 minutes of my anatomy instructor that I knew more than my instructor. And I just decided, okay, that's okay because I need these hours on paper. So at least I will learn a real massage routine. Okay? So mind you, prior to that, I was actually doing a lot of leg massages on my friends. I used to run a lot, and all my runner friends would ask me to give them massage, specifically a lady, my girlfriend at the time, Anna. She started it all. She asked me one day, can you give me a leg massage? And I said, God, I've never done that before. And she said, well, you know all that muscle stuff. Come on, give me a massage. And so I said, okay. And she laid on the massage table, and I just looked at her legs, and I visualized the muscles, their shapes, underneath the skin. And I contoured my fingers to grasp individual muscles. The physiology of muscles, they're basically like a sponge. There's fluids coming into the muscle and fluids going out. Oftentimes, some toxic fluids do not leave the muscles. And if they're squeezed literally like a sponge, you could void that space of the old fluids and allow a new, clean, fresh blood supply to refresh that tissue. So with Anna, I did the best I could with the specific muscles. I worked on her quadriceps, her lower legs, her lateral lower legs, turned her over, worked on her calf muscles, what people call, and then on her hamstring muscles. And then she got up and she looked at me and she goes, you lied to me. And I said, lied to you about what? She goes, you said you'd never done a massage before. That's the greatest massage I've ever had in my life. And she got massage regular. So based on my experience with her, I started being the Seal Beach, California massage therapist, okay? We had a lot of runners there, a great healthy community. So now fast forward back into that school of massage. So I thought, well, I kind of improvised and created a little routine that everybody liked, but I'm going to learn the real massage. Well, lo and behold, when we had our first hands-on massage day, I'll use the term, they were wiping skin, okay? If a low back is in pain, it's not the skin that's the problem. It's the underlying muscles. If the shoulder is in pain, it's not the skin on the shoulder. It's the underlying muscles. So like I did with Anna, in time, I created techniques that were applicable to all body parts for specific muscles that were the culprits in pain-related movement. Okay, so the routine wasn't taught to me. And I had no intentions of creating a full routine, but eventually there it was.
Okay, but my question is, okay, what is the requirement in the state of Hawaii for somebody to get a massage license? What do they have to know?
Okay, the state of Hawaii requires a specific set of hours and subject matter. The first part, by state rules and regulation, is a 150-hour course. That consists of 50 hours of anatomy, physiology, and kinesiology, as well as 100 hours, what they term as massage demonstration. That means they learn a full-body massage. That's the first part.
Let me interrupt on this one. How do people here in the state typically get training in anatomy, kinesiology, the things that you've already talked to us about that clearly you got from fairly specialized study? Is that something that is normally taught by doctors here to massage therapists or what?
No, not at all. In order to be an instructor in the state of Hawaii, you have to submit specific paperwork to the Board of Massage and you have to get approval from them. So only accredited and approved instructors can teach these classes that would be applicable towards state licensing.
So I interrupted you. You have to have a certain number of hours and all these different things.
Okay, but that's just the first part. The second part is 420 hours divided into different categories, 310 hours of actual hands-on practice, 70 hours of what they call clinical operations, that's office procedures and all the business aspects in the profession of massage, and the third part is 40 hours of advanced training. In my classes, as an example, I have an advanced training low back class. I have an advanced training headache and scalp class. I have an advanced training, carpal tunnel, forearm class, and different subjects like that. So once a person accumulates all of their hours, they qualify to apply to take the state board exam. So now papers need to be submitted to the Board of Massage, and upon approval, they are scheduled to take a state board exam test, a written test, 125 questions, multiple choice, and if they pass that with 75%, then they're given a license. When I got my license in 1980, it was different, and I really wish they did it that way. It was a similar thing with what I just explained, pass the written test. But back then, if you passed the written test, then you qualified to actually do a massage performance on a state tester. So I literally went into a room with a state examiner, and he would give me an example. Let's say I played tennis in high school. I'm here on my honeymoon. I haven't played tennis in 4 years. There's a tennis court here. I went out yesterday for 4 hours. I played tennis, and my shoulder is bothering me. Work on me. And that's it. And so I would start doing the work on him, and then he would question, what are you doing? What muscles are you working on? And after a few minutes, he'd say, okay, let's do another scenario. And step by step, he would take me through different anatomical parts of his body and actually feel my hands-on performance. If I passed that, then I was issued my license. They don't do that this day and age, and consequently, I personally feel there's a lot of hands-on techniques out there with licensed massage therapists that could be greatly enhanced with proper training.
Very diplomatically put. And before we continue, let me remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3. And now you may hear Island Issues online at KoaCountry1077.com. Today we're talking with Gino Ortiz, massage therapist, about everything related to massage. Next week my scheduled guest is Jamie Perino. She owns 3 marijuana stores in Denver, and I thought it would be an interesting topic. My scheduled guest for 2 weeks from today is Hawaii County Mayor Billy Kanoi. Let's get back to Gino Ortiz. When you look at a list of what kind of massages are offered, oftentimes you'll see a list that includes things like Lomi Lomi, Swedish, which you mentioned. What are the differences, or are there really differences between different, quote, types, unquote, of massage?
Well, there's a wide variety of definitions, very respectfully so. The Lomi Lomi is such a magical, traditional, cultural aspect of the Hawaiian culture. I do have a kumu who has taught me some aspects of the spiritual side of Lomi Lomi. Lomi Lomi is not one specific type of hand movement. There are many varieties of hands-on techniques in Lomi Lomi. But one of the things that he emphasized with Lomi Lomi is to unite the people of the past and the people of the present and the people of the future. Okay, and there's an anatomical alignment in the body, and it should be 3 connecting dots in a vertical line. And he says sometimes the picos, he calls them, they get out of alignment. And so with the chanting, asking permission to work on the client and giving me permission to work on the client, I do my hands-on to try to align the 3 different picos. And as astounding as the whole aspect of that story is to me, I realized, oh my goodness sakes, it corresponds to the vertebrae. Just as if the vertebrae gets out of alignment, we have misfunction with many aspects of our physiology. And in the ancient ways of the Hawaiians, or in the current day also, Hawaiians very respectfully so, when they're lining up the people of the past, the present, and the future, they are in spirit really aligning up the vertebrae and making that connection.
That is really interesting, because I never knew what Lomi Lomi massage was, because I've never heard anybody explain it like that, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome. There's other aspects also, but, you know, we could go on for days.
Right, and we only have 30 minutes.
But I love that one, because it totally corresponded to the anatomy. So, like I said earlier, a lot of massage is outdated because of the advancement of anatomical knowledge.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, Gino Ortiz, will go to a massage therapist because they have muscle pain. What causes muscle pain?
Well, there are basic elements of muscle function, and they're very simple. Let's take your car, for instance. If we don't know anything about a car, we do know, it's common sense, if I put gas and check the oil, my car's going to run. Or a houseplant, if I water the plant, it's going to be healthy. The real overall picture with muscle health is pretty much that simple also. Muscles need oxygen, water, nutrients, and a neural impulse to contract. If we don't drink enough water, our muscles aren't going to work very well. If we don't eat a healthy diet, our muscles aren't going to work very well. If our vertebrae are out of alignment, and I'm very much favorable to chiropractic, And if we can go to the chiropractor and get our vertebrae lined up to where we get a strong neural impulse being delivered to the muscle, then that's all favorable. And the other thing that the muscles need is toxin removal. Just like the car engine, you have clean gasoline go to the engine. Once the engine fires, that clean gasoline becomes a poisonous exhaust. Well, if you clog up your tailpipe in your car's going to sputter and die. In the human body, when we get all of those elements go to the muscle contracts. There is toxins, fluid toxins, left in the muscle tissue. Physiologically, it can be drained out, but with regular activity, sometimes it piles up. And with the techniques that I teach, we can actually eliminate a lot of the fluid toxins with our specific manipulations.
If somebody feels sore, feels pain, they go to a massage therapist, what does the therapist need to know from the person to help make the massage successful, which, you know, is sort of a dual answer? What do they need to know? But what does the person need to be prepared to tell the massage therapist in order to let the massage therapist know exactly what they really do need, other than the nonspecific, ooh, my body's sore.
Right.
Or I feel like a massage, which doesn't tell you a thing. So give us guidance on how to make a massage more effective.
Well, I'm going to take it back to the way that I teach, okay? One of the things I emphasize with my students is you have a personality with your family. You have a personality with your friends. You've never had a professional massage therapist personality. That's part of my training. So part of that personality is, what do you do when a client walks in the door? You take full control. So I train them to ask the correct questions. We have a simplified chart. I've seen all kinds of charts that ask way too many questions. I just have a highlighter pen and an anatomical front and a back, and I ask the people to highlight the areas of discomfort. And from there, that's our target conversation. So from there, my students and myself, we know what questions to ask. What is wrong with your shoulder? Okay? So we could get specific. And with the training, in me teaching my students movement and what muscles create what movement, when the client says, it hurts when I move like this, pretty much that's all the information we need to identify which muscle is the muscle in need. Muscles work in teams. So when we identify the what's called the prime mover, then we know what other related muscles get involved with that motion. So we work it as a team of muscles. And what I tell my students, and I draw a chart on the board, we work above, below, side to side, before we hit the target zone. So we remedy the whole neighborhood, so to speak, of muscles. Because they're all affected by the dysfunction of the one muscles. They're all overworking in the time of need. So we get all of those surrounding muscles mellowed out and pacified before we work on the target muscle. And in doing that, a lot of the residual pain, anatomic area, is increased over a few days. It started here, and now it's spread over here. What that is it's those additional muscles that are overworking, and they're getting tired, and they're suffering the consequences.
Gino, mostly we hear about massage being done on adults. Under what circumstances do children get massages?
I've worked on a lot of children who have been injured in auto accidents. And there was a gentleman, I used to work at the Four Seasons Hotel in Newport Beach, and he was a traveling businessman, and he would come to me all the time he was in town. And he said, next time I'm in town, I'm bringing my daughter. I want her to get a massage with you. And I said, okay, great. So here comes that day, and he gets a massage. He says, my daughter's next, and okay. He leaves the room, and he says, I'll walk her in. And he walks in, and he's got a four-year-old daughter.
Oh, my goodness. That's a little teeny person.
Right?
And you're a really big guy.
And I was quite surprised, and I treated her in a total professional way, shook her hand, and got her on the massage table. And I said, is this your first massage? And she looked at me with a bright eye and said, oh, no, I get massage all the time. So you never know. I haven't had a lot of those. When I worked at one of the five-star hotels up north, I would get a lot of teenagers coming in, young teenagers. But specifically, the injury types are so rewarding to work on, and especially with seeing results.
What are the main types of injuries or conditions you see that are effectively treated by massage?
Okay. In my experience, 17 years as doctor's assistant in chiropractic and orthopedic centers, the top three, low back, headaches, relaxation. Those are the top three. So when I have a group of students and we're entering a new phase of education, the first couple of workshops that I teach would be the low back and the headache and scalp. And mind you, 80% of headaches are muscular in nature. So if I walked in here and you told me, oh, I have a splitting headache, and you're rubbing the back of your head, you're actually doing muscular massage therapy, Sherry. You're touching and rubbing the occipitalis muscle. I teach my students how to be specific with that muscle. Or if you're rubbing your forehead above your eyes, that's the frontalis muscle. Or the sides, that's the temporalis muscle. So they actually have names, and there's muscles that get sore, just like your leg muscles might get sore. But when you change the anatomical position of that muscle and relocate it to your head, then common sense tells us to refer to it as a headache. You don't hear the street person say, I have a muscle ache that's in my head.
No.
But that's the reality of the matter.
So that's interesting, because some people get headaches, some people don't. I tend to get headaches from, I think, stress or, you know, whatever. But that kind of situation can be helped by massage.
Absolutely. Well, there's a type of contraction. There's many types of contractions. And this is one of the things that I feel is so important for a massage therapist to know, but it's not really taught, only because a lot of instructors are not aware of these. A tetanic contraction is a contraction without a relaxation phase. So when a person is sitting at a computer and they're arms are extended out, their neck is at a certain angle, they are virtually in a massive tetanic contraction of many muscles. Muscle needs a relaxation phase for those fluid toxins to be released that I mentioned earlier. When we don't have that relaxation phase, then the tissue is getting bombarded. When you use the word stress, you know, we could ask 100 people, what is your definition of stress? And we would get 100 different answers. But I refer to it as unnecessary muscle contractions, okay? And when we can concentrate on what muscles we are contracting when they don't need to be contracting, then we are conserving oxygen, water, nutrients, and eliminating excess toxins from being built up in our tissues. And if we're active and we learn how to, say, run more fluid and eliminate unnecessary muscle contractions, we will actually perform way better, way more efficient. We'll have longer strides, we will conserve all of that oxygen, and that oxygen will now be delivered to the muscles that are working for the performance to be enhanced.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about working at a computer. I bet since computers came on the scene, massage therapists have had a lot more business just because of the way we sit and the long hours that we sit in front of computers.
Oh, right. The evolution of technology has evolved the massage profession. I am a musician. I have played in the Kona Orchestra. I play trumpet. And my friend Don Green, he was the lead trumpet player for the LA Philharmonic for 18 years. And I saw him a few years ago, and he had double carpal tunnel surgery on his wrist from holding his instrument. Well, before him, I actually catered to a lot of my other musician friends, and I worked on them for muscle-related problems with tetanic contractions holding their instruments. So I've specialized in that, and I've been able to help a lot of musicians perform. I've gone to music festivals, and they set up a little room for me in the back, and the people that were coming off stage, it's amazing how much pain people that you can go see in a concert, while they're performing, they are in massive pain. That's another aspect of the profession that's really kind of untapped right now, but I've kind of uncovered it just because of my personal experience being a musician.
Gino Ortiz, can we be hurt by massage?
We can be hurt, and we have to backtrack to the training of the individual therapist.
Which gets us into what credentials we should seek if we're looking at a massage therapist, really.
Right. We need to ask, who is the instructor? What is their background? If we went to buy a used car, we would ask a lot of questions. But in me receiving in calls inquiring about taking my classes, it's been rare that somebody has asked my background. So I make it a point in my presentation to inform them of that. It's very, very important. I know that there are some massage training centers or massage schools where, believe it or not, the instructors have never had a job in the massage profession. I've worked in the cruise ships. I've worked for professional sports teams. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
really,
one of my private clients.
He's pretty tall.
In the heyday of his career. Yes, he is. He's taller than me. It was great. I used to go to his house in Bel Air at the twilight of his career and work on him after games. And he had his whole house remodeled to his structure, his size. Even the toilet seat. And yeah, it was great. But I've had the honor of working in those kinds of situations. So I get to share those experiences with my students and get to motivate them at ideas on how they can enter the professional massage field in a unique aspect. I've kind of been self-inspired to spread my gift in different aspects of the profession.
Gino, we are at the end of our time together. What else would you like to add that I have not asked you about relative to massage?
Massage is for everybody. There's a lot of people that feel that they don't want to be touched. Human touch is probably the most instinctive gift that humans have. When the mother gives birth, the first thing she wants to do is hold her baby. When we bump into a corner, the first thing we do is rub that impact area. When you're a teenager and you have your first girlfriend or your first boyfriend, holding their hand is a magic thing. If you're walking down the street holding their hand and you intentionally release the hand, there's a sense of energy that just kind of deflates the moment. So that contact, humans need it. All creatures need it. The touch of massage is another dimension of utilizing that gift of touch. That's why we have sensory nerve endings in our body, so we could receive incoming information. There's nothing like a great hug. All cultures do the handshake. So touch is around us, and even a handshake, we could refer to it as massage.
Thank you so much, Gino Ortiz. Now, I know there's plenty of sources online, because I found many when I was looking up massage, even things, as I mentioned, like the Mayo Clinic. If people want to learn more about the specific things we've discussed, where you've developed specific techniques, what's your website?
My name is spelled G-E-N-O, not G-I-N-O. So it's genosmassage.blogspot.com.
Okay, Genos, G-E-N-O-S, massage.blogspot.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you so much for your time, Gino Ortiz.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I really appreciate being here.
Aloha, and thanks to our listeners for being here. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. I'll see you next Sunday morning when we air my talk story with Jamie Perino, who owns a marijuana store, actually three of them, in Denver. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for joining us for Island Issues. We welcome your suggestions and input. Email us at info@islandissues.com. Join us next week at the same time for another edition of Island Issues. Island Issues is a public affairs presentation of Mahalo Broadcasting.